Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
In this edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast, coming to you from Houston, side of Super Bowl 51, we check in with a couple of former 49ers who are chasing a ring with the Atlanta Falcons, Jeff Ulbrich and Deshaun Goldson. First up is Ulbrich, a native of Morgan Hill who played 10 seasons as a linebacker with the 49ers before retiring in 2009 after sustaining a particularly alarming concussion. Ulbrich immediately began to pursue a career in coaching, and his imprint on the Falcons' Super Bowl season is obvious, as he has helped in the development of starting rookie linebackers Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell. Here's Jeff Ulbrich on the 49ers Insider Podcast. All right, I'm here at Super Bowl 51 in Houston, joined by one of the all-time popular 49ers, Jeff Ulbrich. Jeff, a member of the Atlanta Falcons coaching staff, the linebackers coach. It's got to be great for you to be here at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, having a blast. Obviously, this week is pretty special, but the journey getting here was, it's just unlike anything I've ever done in my life, working with Dan Quinn and the atmosphere he's created here and the culture we've created on this team. It's been a blast.
So let's talk about the journey. You came to the 49ers in 2000 and had a long career, a 10-year career. What do you remember most about your time with the 49ers?
The teammates, the guys I played with. I mean, the relationships that we built were special, and they're lifelong, and that's the beauty of this game. Unfortunately, we never won a world championship. The longer I'm in this profession, you start to understand it's not necessarily the most talented team. It's just a lot of things have to go right for this moment to happen, would have loved to have done that with my teammates in San Francisco. Fortunately, I get an opportunity here.
When you're like you were kind of an undersized linebacker, you had to fight and scrap for everything. You go to Gavilan Junior College and Gilroy and up at Hawaii. Do you think just your journey as a player made you a better fit to become a coach?
I think so. The game didn't come easy to me, and I had to scrap and fight and wasn't given the measurables that a typical NFL linebacker has, so I found a way to find a way, and created I think a skill set that I can teach and that I can pass along. And what's really cool is when you get guys that do have the measurables and they apply the same skill set where they can take their game, so it's been fun. I've had two it's rare. I started a Mike and a Will that were rookies this year, those are the quarterbacks of the defense, and it was fun to see them grow and evolve, and what they are today is nowhere near what they were at the beginning of the season. So it's been fun and very rewarding.
Yeah, when I saw you last season in 2015, when you came to Levi's Stadium, that defense, it was young. There wasn't a whole lot there, and that was really the missing link. And you guys have developed some players and plugged some young guys in. How did you go about that, getting two young guys ready to, coached up and ready to play?
A lot of hours, a lot of time, a lot of gray hair in my beard now. It was challenging. But for me as a coach, I think it made me a better coach. The fact that I had to find a way and I had to spend the extra time with them and a lot of credit goes to them for sure. They worked their butts off this year. They spent the extra time in the film room, the practice field, and were all in. So I couldn't ask for any more cooperation from guys,
The way your career ended, you were injured in, I think it's probably October of 2009. You had the concussion. Right. During that time when you're contemplating whether to come back, were you did you kind of turn into a coach? Is that kind of the time frame where, when you thought, okay, I'm going to start working on that side of my career?
I'd always wanted to be a coach, always. So I didn't know necessarily what level I wanted to be a coach, but I always wanted to be a coach. And, yeah, for sure, when I did get hurt my last year there, and, you know, the doctor and me had a long conversation regarding my injury, and it was pretty clear that he thought I should shut it down. And obviously my wife and my kids thought I should probably shut it down at that point, because they were just starting to add up, you know, the concussions were. That I really did. I jumped all in and started, you know, helping as I could. And the fortunate thing was I had a guy like Patrick Willis come in as a rookie. I had Tequil Spice, who was new to the system. I had so many young, really promising, good players that came through there over the years that gave me that opportunity to help them and pass along and what I knew and really gave me the passion for it to see them develop, you know. So it's just I really kind of always felt to myself as a kind of coach on the field, you know, so it was an easy transition, I thought.
You know, it's just the way, you know, concussions are talked about now. You know, it's for a long time they really weren't taken too seriously. Obviously in 2009 they were, but are you okay? Do you have any concerns about, you know, your head moving forward?
No, not at all. You know, I mean, obviously who knows what the future holds, you know, but as of today, I feel great. I think a big part of it is, you know, I try to spread this messaging to as many ex-players as I can. I think there's something to be said about being really mentally active, you know, and finding another passion in your life. Because I think it's twofold. I think for one, when you stop using your brain, just like any muscle in your body, and it's already has potential damage from the time that you played, you know, bad things can happen, you know, and then I think on top of that, I think there's a level of depression that guys go through that's not acknowledged, you know, because they lose this huge part of themselves. And a lot of times this game is what defined them, you know, so they step away and there's a level of depression that I think sometimes gets associated with concussions where it's not necessarily that, you know. So I think, you know, coaching has just kept me passionate about getting up in the morning and driven and focused, and has kept this muscle strong in my, you know, and hopefully I can just keep it going.
I remember in 2009, you were having a difficult time finding a coaching job, right? I mean, didn't you think that after a 10-year career that you'd be able to step right in and pretty much write your ticket to where you wanted to coach?
Yeah, it's funny how that works, you know. A lot of times they coaches throughout the years that you get exposed to that, you know, they all say, I'll take you, I want you, this and that. But as coaching goes, you know, there's only one linebacker coach on every team. There's only one defensive coordinator. There's only one of this and that. So a guy might have wanted me, but he'd had to fire his guy to bring me in. So a lot of it's timing in coaching. And I was really fortunate the way it worked out. You know, went up to Seattle and coached with Pete Carroll. It was my first experience. And had no exposure to him, had no past history with him, had nothing, you know. Got an opportunity to meet him at the Senior Bowl that year. Went out there, just kind of put a face to a name to a face, and he brought me on. I learned so much about ball and just about coaching and about the behind the scenes stuff that I had no idea as a player, you know, existed. And he gave me a great platform to really develop. You know, he didn't just bury me behind the scenes. You know, he let me have tons of opportunities with the team, and really fortunate to him.
So then you go to UCLA, yep. and then of course to the Falcons. So then you did start hooking up with your previous coaches,
yeah.
And so that's always good when a guy who's coached you wants you on their staff.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I thought the dream was to coach college football. I really did. You know, I thought the ability to develop younger guys and have a huge imprint on their lives, not just their football lives, and. And I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I really did. I enjoyed it. And the only thing that was hard for me was the recruiting part of it. You know, it's just there's a lot of time devoted to that. You know, and some guys are great at it. Some guys love that part of it. And I just found that, you know, I wanted more time with my players. You know, I wanted more time there. And so that's what this job has given me an opportunity to do. And I totally lost sight of the fact that, and I knew this as a player, that these guys need – mentorship off the field just as much, if not more, than the college players. You know these, a lot of these guys come from backgrounds where they don't have a whole lot of tools, you know, life tools, you know. So hopefully, you know, these kids would say that I'd, you know, helped them with football but with life too, you know.
Are you shocked that just year two of this program that here you are in the Super Bowl?
I am, and at the same time, I'm not. You know, Dan is the best in ball. He really is. He is. He's created a culture here that is. It is so unique. You know, it's so much easier, say, in a high school level to develop this sort of bond and brotherhood amongst the players because you've got kids that have been raised together, you know, in a community. And he's taken these guys from all over the place and created that same sort of bond, that same sort of trust, the same sort of it's just so unique at this level, as you know, at the professional level, to get guys to really buy into that and live it and breathe it. And that's what they're doing, you know.
I want to ask you about another of your fellow coaches. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a pretty good chance that Kyle Shanahan is going to be the 49ers coach. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. You know, if that's what happens, if that's, you know, the direction he goes, the 49ers are getting a really good coach, a really, really good coach. He's a guy that I know from a defensive perspective, I wouldn't want to go against him, you know. So, yeah.
And why is that?
He's just so creative and innovative and forward-thinking, and it's not about the way things have been done. It's you know, what's the best way to do things, you know, and he's just he's a pain in the butt that way, you know.
And what is it about his approach to game planning and just getting the right matchups for his players?
Yeah, he's about utilizing his personnel as opposed to being married to a system that you lose sight of that sometimes.
And what's the future for you? Would you like to be a defensive coordinator sooner than later?
I'm just loving this moment right now. You know, I love, at this point in my career, I love having my own room. You know, and that's really why I got into this deal. It wasn't necessary to climb the ranks and be the next head coach. It was, and things can change, obviously, and perspective can change. But as of right now, I just love having my room and developing these deep relationships with these guys and really developing them So right now I'm doing what I want to do.
What is it about Dan Quinn that has enabled him to go from defensive line coach to defensive coordinator, commanding a bigger room, to now commanding the biggest room right. as a head coach?
You know, he has this rare combination of, you know, obviously I've known him since 2001 when he came to the 49ers as a quality control coach on defense. And he's got this rare blend of, like, he's got this grittiness to him, this blue-collaredness to him, this very rawness to him that all these players can relate to because it's the culture of ball, of football, you know. And then he's got this whole other side of him that's very cerebral and very detailed and very – and it's just rare because typically you get the cerebral guy that's not a very good communicator or motivator and he doesn't relate. And then you get the guy that sometimes a great motivator but not a great – thinker, you know, and he's blended these two worlds together unlike I've ever seen, you know.
So what kind of challenge do you think Kyle Shanahan will have as a head coach blending those worlds together? Because no one at all questions his ability to design an offense and call plays, but being a head coach is so much more than that. Obviously, I think he will still do that, but what does he have to do to have the kind of success that Dan Quinn has had in a very short period of time?
You know, I can't speak for the guys on offense because I'm not in those rooms, but from what I hear, he does an amazing job. You know, he does an amazing job not only with the passing game where he gets a lot of credit, but the run game too. You know, he's got a huge influence on everything that they do. And, you know, but the guys I know on offense respect the hell out of him, and I would see it I would see nothing changing as a head coach, you know, and plus he's got tons of great resources around him. You know, he's got his dad, obviously. He's got a lot of people that are going to help him along that journey, you know. And, again, I don't know if that's going to happen. But
right, yeah, we don't know either.
Right.
But I'll probably have an answer for you on Monday after the game.
Yeah, I would imagine. As far as I'm concerned, the world ends on Monday, so – you know, we're hyper-focused on this game, you know.
And that's a great thing. I mean, you played the game, and now you're on the sideline. It's not like you're up in the coach's booth, like kind of in a sanitized environment. Is that kind of the fun part of it, too, that you're down there with the players and you're really part of it?
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, I have perspective regarding, like, the chaos that goes through the mind, you know, in games, good, bad, and different. And hopefully I can help bring that ease to these guys, you know, at times, you know, I think sometimes certain coaches, they lose their mind on the sideline, you know, and they don't quite understand that, you know, when things go bad out there, what's going on in your mind as a coach multiply that by 100, and that's what the player's going through, you know. So hopefully I can help even them out at times and support them and encourage them and, you know, and kick them in the butt a little bit when they need it sometimes too. But, I love everything. I love the preparation part. I love practice. I love game day. It's what I was supposed to be doing.
As this being your first Super Bowl week, any surprises? I mean, is this kind of what you thought it would be like from a preparation standpoint? You know, having the full week in Atlanta to get everything lined up and ready to go, and then come here and, you know, there's a lot of periphery stuff.
Right. It's as normal as, you know, I think you can make it. Obviously, the media day on Tuesday or Monday, that's a little different, you know. But the beauty of it is now we're in our rhythm, you know. Wednesday's Wednesday. We go out there and we practice hard as probably anybody in the NFL, if not harder. We're gonna have great meetings, and the meeting structure is the same way. You got the run meeting first, and the pass meeting second, and so. Yeah, there is. It's exciting from the standpoint of all this peripheral stuff, you know. But now that's over and done with, and we're rolling. You know,
well, you've come a long way from a player, maybe the first player in NFL history to drive a Prius to where you are now.
We got one too here, Brooks Reed. Yeah, one of our he's a linebacker, defense end. Yeah, he runs one too.
What are you driving these days?
What do I got? I got an SUV.
Would you go from Prius when you live in the Bay Area to an SUV in Atlanta?
I shouldn't say this, but when I had my Prius, I also had other cars that were probably not as environmentally friendly. My wife always gives me crap about that, because it's like they painted this picture like I was this environmentalist. Not so much. No,
Prius was just for show?
It was for the economy part of it, you know, because I drove all the way from Gilroy area, Morgan Hill area. So I was, and at the time, remember, gas was just astronomical. So it's probably more of that. But I do care about the environment. I do.
Okay, that's good to know. But right now you care more about winning Sunday's game.
Yes. Yeah, we are. Yeah, the blinders are on right now. Yeah.
Jeff, hey, congratulations. It's been fun to watch your career, and I know you wanted to coach, and here you are at the absolute highest level. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much, Matt.
Deshaun Goldson was a key member of the 49ers defense when the club made it to Super Bowl 47 against the Baltimore Ravens just 4 years ago. He was selected as a first-team All-Pro safety that season. That was the last game that Goldson played for the 49ers, as he signed a lucrative free agent contract a month later with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Goldson is now 32 years old, and he re-signed with the Falcons late in the season, shortly after I saw him at the 49ers team hotel in Atlanta in December. Goldson has been inactive for both of the Falcons playoff games and might not suit up for the Super Bowl either. Here's Deshaun Goldson on the 49ers Insider Podcast. It is Sean, the last time I saw you, you were at the 49ers team hotel in Atlanta.
Seriously, man.
I'm assuming you were there to be signing a contract with the Falcons?
Yeah, actually, I was down there. Taquio had his 40th birthday. I flew into town that weekend. When I got off the plane on that Friday, I had text messages from my agent and the organization with Atlanta who was saying, well, we want to bring you in for a workout. And I was like, wow, well, I'm already here. You know, I was just out here to just celebrate my boy Taquio Spike's 40th, so. It worked out for the best, man. And then I heard, you know, you guys were in San Fran, was in the town at the time. So I was like, man, let me go ahead and pop in and see my fellas, man.
At that point, were you thinking you might not get another shot to play? Or were you actively, you know, thinking that maybe next year?
To be honest with you, I still have my fingers crossed. I still have my hopes. When I got released, week 6, 7, when I was here with the Falcons, I went back home. I stayed after that. I kept working out. My agent was like, you know, just keep your hope. And I never gave up. And the call came, man, right when I got into Atlanta.
And this is your second Super Bowl. Last time, obviously, you were a starter, a huge part of that defense. What sticks out to you about that Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans?
The journey itself, man. I think, you know, where we came from, just being drafted there, fourth round, the obstacles we had to go through, and it was all worth it at the end of it. You know, I think that team, man, was one of the great, was a great team to be a part of. I mean, I'm fortunate, I'm humble, I'm blessed to be, you know, mentioned in that whole San Francisco organization and what we did to get to that point, man. it just sucked that we didn't pull it off. I think that was a great team to get it done, but, you know, I'm just happy I got another chance at it.
So you were drafted in 2007. You saw some bad times with the 49ers, but then you saw, you know, the arrival of Harbaugh and how the culture changed there. That had to be great for you to having experienced the bad to also experience the good.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't change it for the world, man. I think that got us to that point, you know, just going through that, and it built us as a football team, I felt. Like everybody that was still there, you know, through the thick of it, came in. You know, the Patrick Willis, the Joe Staley's, you know, me, Terrell Brown, guys that came in that 2007 draft, we knew what it was like. And when we got there, man, it was all worth it.
You know, you're also one of those guys. When I look at that starting lineup from 2012, I mean, a lot of those guys are long gone. Are you surprised at how fast and how far the 49ers have fallen since you left and since that Super Bowl? And then, you know, the next year they went to the championship game, lost, and then it's been really all downhill from there.
Really, I am, man. It's just for the simple fact that what we build, I think they should have, I mean, you know, carried on that tradition, you know, build off of that, what we did in the Super Bowl 47. And, you know, I felt like, you know, we just still had some of the guys there. I know that Patrick Willis ended up retiring, you know, Navarro ended up getting hurt. So I know that kind of took a lot out, probably, out of the team. Crabb ended up getting, you know, really traded. Things like that, man. It's hard to really harp on, like, what went wrong. I wasn't there, you know what I mean? But it was just sad to see.
Well, why do you think things have gone so horribly wrong with the 49ers?
Man, I have no idea, man. I just think they let go too many of the key pieces, you know, that kept the team, you know, together. I mean, I think that bond was something that should have been kept. Like, we were the team, you know, before the, you know, the Seattle's, I felt, you know, we had a good thing going on.
You know, a lot of people point to Jim Harbaugh, you know, that he left, and that was kind of, that contributed to the downfall. What was it like playing for Jim Harbaugh?
Man, I enjoy every day of that, man. Coach Harbaugh was a great guy, you know, on and off the field. I don't know, you know, what happened after I was going out that locker room, but definitely was a shift. You can tell it was a shift in the team and how they were playing. But Harbaugh was a great coach, man. I think a lot of people got the wrong idea of who he was as a person, as a coach. But he definitely was a great leader for us, and he understand the players, and it showed when we played our football games.
He was a grinder, and he worked you guys, right?
Definitely was a grinder, man. Our work ethic was, you know, had a lot to do with him, and he was a smart coach. We got after it every day, and when we got to Sundays, it was that easy.
I mean, you had some great seasons with the 49ers. You know, how have things gone, you know, since your 49er days? You know, you've had made a couple stops, Tampa Bay, Washington, and now Atlanta.
Right. Well, since then, I mean, it's been okay. It hasn't been that bad. You know, I had when I went to Tampa, it was pretty good, and I had a good time, and then end up facing some injuries, some setbacks, and then having to, you know, face the business side of it again, getting traded to release, whatever you want to call it, you know, to Washington. Well, I think I had a good time, had a good year, played well, and now here, I'm fortunate the guy got picked up and playing right here with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm excited about.
It's a different role for you. I mean, a backup, and do you know yet if you're going to be in uniform on Sunday?
I don't know that exactly, but, you know, if I am, great, man. I love it. I'll cherish it, and I'll play my butt off. And if I'm not, I'm be there with the biggest cheerleader on the sideline for my players and for my teammates, man. I mean, these group of guys are something special, man. I'm just fortunate to be – I'm just glad to be a part of this and just bring my experiences and my leadership to this team.
What do you remember most about Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans?
Just coming out to that tunnel, man. Just coming out as a football team and all the lights flashing, the adrenaline, just everything was just on another level, I felt. And I think we just came out slow. And, you know, you can't do that in a Super Bowl, man. You can't come out slow. You got to come out swinging. And we paid for it at the end of it, 4-4 on the 4-yard line.
Have teammates here with the Falcons talked to you about what it's like to go through a Super Bowl week?
Some of them have. You know, a lot of the guys are young, so I mean, it's a gift and a curse because they don't know what they're getting into, and some of them is good because they're approaching it like every other game, and they're not letting the game get bigger than what it is. The preparation is what's key for us, and, you know, I just think we're prepared enough. I think our coach, you know, do a great job of leading us up to this point, man, and letting the guys know, like, this game, we're not going to change anything we do, whether it's our warm-up, the way we prepare, what we eat. We're just going to continue to do what we do to get us to this point. And I think a lot of the guys are accepting that.
All right, Deshaun, great to see you, and good luck on Sunday.
Appreciate it. No doubt.
Well, a big thanks to Jeff Ulbrich and Deshaun Goldson, two guys I really enjoyed covering during their time with the 49ers. And we'll have more podcasts coming to you from Super Bowl 51 here in Houston. Be sure to check out all of our 49ers Insider podcasts. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.